Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you by Myers & Associates, serving the Midwest with industrial maintenance products and services. Call them at 515-795-3676. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running. This is Shane Vanderhart and Brian Myers, and we are glad you're back with us for another week of Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. And Brian, you just... car problems just never end.
Yeah. Well, this time you participated.
Yes, I did. That was fun. I was in Cedar Rapids driving because I do some work for Brian part time.
He's a valuable part time employee
because I just love doing work and Brian needs the help. And anyway, I was in Cedar Rapids and I was driving and this Jeep I'd hit 25 miles per hour and then it like wouldn't shift gears. It was crazy.
Yeah. I'm struggling so much to just keep my fleet of hacks running.
Uh-huh.
It was just difficult enough just getting them in and out of the shop, you know, so that each of us has a vehicle, you know, to go out in the field with. But last night was ugly. We had a good time. It was an adventure.
Yeah, so we got to spend some quality time together. Yeah. Here's the difference between... here's the difference between Brian and I. He's listening to the Clones game last night, and I'm like, cool, I got an app. I can actually listen to the debate now and tweet since I'm not having to drive.
No, we listened to the debate until the Clone game started.
That's right.
And then you put the headphones on after that.
Right, yeah. Yep. Politics is my blood sport.
But it was an interesting trip home because we're going back and forth between the score of the Clone game and then what stupid thing Donald Trump said in the debate.
Yeah.
And I'm spilling special sauce from my Big Mac all over my pants. And
Fun times.
Yeah. Gracious.
Well, and also, guy who listened to the debate and not so much the Clone game. We were talking about that before we got on air. State Senator Jack Whitfer is on the line joining us this morning. Welcome, Jack.
Thank you for having me.
So we didn't really bring you on to talk about the clones.
I'm happy to do that.
I'm sure we can find a way to do that.
probably. So what's going on in the State Senate? Just kind of give us an overview.
Well, we're now just past the second funnel week, which is a big point of if a bill is going to survive, it has to get through the second funnel. And so really here at the end of the session, it's going to be focused mostly on mostly the budget and then those few bills that did survive both chambers. And we're kind of working through that process. So, you know, overall, it's been a pretty slow session. And I think it's due to a couple things. We're in an election year, which means you're a little toned back in some of your rhetoric and what you're trying to pass. But also, we're now in the sixth year of the exact same makeup with a Republican governor, Republican House, and Democrat-controlled Senate. And we've passed a lot of things we could agree on, and we're getting near the end of the barrel as far as things that we can agree on and pass. And so it's been a pretty slow year.
Yeah, and the fact, too, that you guys just don't really debate a whole lot, too, right?
We don't, no. Yeah. We don't.
So
a lot of the stuff we're passing right now is pretty non-controversial.
But you're running out of that sort of thing, huh?
Right. Which is why we need to take the Iowa Senate for Republicans here this year in 2016. And I think we have a really good shot of that. We have some really good candidates lined up that have stepped forward, raising good money already. And there's a lot of favorable seats. And so I'm really looking forward to this fall.
Good deal. So looking at what survived, what are some main bills that survived the second funnel week?
Well, a couple of the big key issues, it looks like there's agreement now on something they call coupling, which is will Iowa kind of match the deductions that the federal government gets for your taxes? This is something that should have been decided months ago before accountants are preparing tax returns, but the governor didn't put it in his budget, and the Senate Democrats were happy to not do that because that's a big price tag. It's about a $80 million tax increase if we don't do it.
Yeah.
And so we're now down to almost tax day and haven't decided on that yet. But it looks like there is agreement on that. And so that was kind of a big move forward this week when that was agreed upon.
Now, you've written about coupling Can you explain to our listeners what coupling is, in case there are some people who, you know, aren't aware, and why it's important?
So the federal government gives you certain tax deductions if you buy, say, big machinery and equipment. If you're a teacher and you buy school supplies for your classroom, you can deduct up to $250. So there's all these little tax deductions that you can take through federal code. And the big decision is, will Iowa recognize those on your state taxes as well? So, for example, if you buy if you own a small business, say you own a farm, and you buy a piece of equipment at the end of the year for $300,000, federal coupling would allow you to deduct that entire $300,000 in that first year. And so it's a huge tax incentive to invest in your business and to continue to grow. And so as Iowans, we have to decide, will we give that same tax deduction through Iowa code? Mm-hmm. And if we don't, that's a big tax increase for people, or maybe not a tax increase, but they can't deduct it. So it's a big tax bill for them. So it's essentially, are we going to agree with the federal government with their tax deductions? And for that teacher, when they get to deduct money for the school supplies they bought on their federal taxes, will they also be able to deduct that on their state taxes? And so it's a kind of a boring subject, but it's a big deal for a lot of people.
It is. I'm self-employed, so I mean, you know, I'm thinking I'm going to have to go back through my state taxes. I'm going to have to redo. I haven't filed yet. I just started working on state taxes. So
Jack, you mentioned earlier that there might be some agreement on this. Unless I miss my guess, you're going to have a lot of Democrats saying, okay, where are we going to find that $80 million at?
Well, and I don't know that yet. That hasn't been released. I have a feeling what they're going to do is they're going to say this is one-time money because we're only going to couple for 2015, and they're probably going to announce, I would guess, that 2016, don't count on it. Don't count on this coupling when you're making end-of-year decisions. That's the big thing, is everyone expected 2015 to be like 2014 and 13 and 12, where we coupled. And so they made tax decisions based on that. If they would have known going in to the end of year last year that we weren't going to couple, they could at least plan for it. It's not good. They could at least plan for it. And so what I would guess is they'll say, this is a one-year expense because we're only going to do it for 2015. And so we're going to take that out of our ending balance surplus account because it's not an ongoing cost. You know, I think that's kind of a shell game, but especially the Democrats like to play these shell games with the budget so they can spend money in other places.
So at the end of the day, you think someday you might be able to actually make this permanent, but you're going to have to win the Senate first.
I think that's exactly right.
Yeah, and we'll probably convince the governor as well, because he kind of fudged for a while, but finally was convinced by voters contacting him, right?
Yeah, I mean, small business owners and farmers and people all over the state, I'm sure, contacted him. I don't think he didn't want to do coupling. I think he was trying to present a budget that was balanced.
And okay.
To not have that $80 million in there helped him balance it. And so
that's
whether
true.
He ultimately ended up wanting to do it or not, I don't know what his intent was, but I don't think he's not against coupling. I think he's just trying to put forward a balanced budget. So, it's important. If we get a majority, I would really like to see us put that permanent so we don't have to have this fight every year where
that would be nice.
Accountants, like right now, accountants are literally filing taxes or tax returns, and they have no idea what the law is going to be. And that's not a good way to do business.
No. Hey, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and on the line we have State Senator Jack Whitfer, and this is Shane Vanner with Brian Myers.
Now, you forgot to mention that this is former Cyclone great.
That is true.
Senator.
Great
is
a stretch. I'm a former Cyclone.
Well,
hey, buddy, I saw you more than once look very great. How's that?
I may have a couple good days. But
well,
I'm a proud cycler. I'm still a cycler.
Hey, your college football record is way better than mine.
So, I won't comment.
Like what college football record, Shane? Exactly. So, what happened? There were like several gun bills that were sent to the Senate chamber. Did any of those stick?
There's a couple that have survived the funnel. There is the one that would allow suppressors on guns, on handguns in Iowa. That one is still alive. I don't know the prospects of it. There's another one that changed a lot of the permitting processes that passed the Senate Judiciary Committee yesterday. it became, they took the House bill, which was originally a good bill, but the Senate Democrats put an amendment on there to what I think is makes it harder to get your permit and harder to exercise your Second Amendment, because they're going to require not just the class to get your permit. You're going to have to now take the class and go shoot at the range to prove competency before you get that permit. And
right.
I believe that makes it a lot more difficult to exercise your Second Amendment rights. And,
right.
That will be a problem with that bill going forward. And I don't know what will happen on the floor. The bill's still alive, which is good, but I did not support those increased
requirements.
I didn't support the increased requirements to get your permit. So they're alive, but I don't know the prospects. You know, frankly, I think it's all political.
Right.
I think the Democrats are looking for a gun vote so they can tell their constituents back home that they do support the Second Amendment. The truth is, I think they're just trying to get a political vote.
Right, that's true. At least for most of them, anyway. There are a handful that I know probably are.
And not every Democrat. Some of them are proud to go home and say they don't support the Second Amendment. It just depends on where they live.
But right.
In some of these key races that we're going to have this fall, most of them are up in Northeast Iowa, and a lot of them are in rural districts, and so. Those tough races, they're looking for a good gun vote.
Right, right. So I'm surprised they had an ATV bill that we talked to.
That one did survive too.
That one just like that I didn't. There shouldn't have been any controversy around that. If a farmer's walking his back acres, he should be able to carry on his property. You know, and if
late in the day yesterday before I left, I know they came out of the Natural Resource Committee and said that bill did pass and survive. I think they changed it a little bit, but I don't think it was a big enough change to really sink the bill. I think it's probably does have a pretty good chance to pass.
Well, and that was one of the things that shocked me when Shane and I did this interview a while back. I had no idea that law was even on the books.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
You know, we don't happen to have an ATV that's running at my farm right now, but if we did, you know, I'm confident that my dad nor I, you know, over the years would have had any clue that packing while operating it on our own property was a violation of state law.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I think that's just indicative that we have way too many laws. We don't even know what's in there anymore.
Right. Very, very true. And fortunately, the gridlock has helped kind of reduce the number of you guys pass. So in a way, that's kind of positive.
Yeah, you know, I always tell my constituents, you know, when we do have slow days at the Capitol, I always say it's not that bad. You know,
so right.
I'd rather do nothing a lot of times than do something, because, you know, so many problems, they're legitimate problems, but they don't have a governmental fix. And if they do have a governmental fix, it's probably, you know, at the local level. And we sometimes get mixed up in things that we're trying to solve problems, but it doesn't always help with more government.
Great. Well, we got about 4 minutes left. Polk County Convention is this weekend. And you're speaking.
I am.
So you want to preview what you're going to talk about?
Well, first of all, going to the convention will be extremely interesting tomorrow. You know, I believe personally that we are in the middle of a civil war for the soul of our party.
And I agree.
What are we going to be as a party going forward? And going to a county convention, I'm extremely interested to see the mood of you know, a lot of the people at these conventions, they're the faithful. It takes some commitment to give up a Saturday to go to a convention, because anyone that's been there, they're not real exciting. And so these are the party faithful, and I'm very curious to see where they're at on this presidential election, and who's siding with who, and who could never support certain candidates. And my message, frankly, is going to be, I understand there's a lot of anger out there. And it's not all unwarranted, but in the midst of that anger, we cannot forget who we are as conservatives.
Right.
We cannot forget the principles that make this a party, because if we don't have principles at the party, and if we don't stick to our beliefs, the party is just a shell. It doesn't mean anything anymore. And it's important to me that we don't forget who we are as a party as we're going through this process. And, right now we have a front runner that, frankly, doesn't share a lot of the principles and beliefs that we do.
Right.
And, that's troubling to me.
Right. Yeah. We don't need Democrats and the Republicans become Democrat light. That doesn't really, that's not inspiring. That we usually lose when we do that, don't we?
Right. Right. And you know, there's been a lot of criticism over John McCain and Mitt Romney at the top of our ticket, but Donald Trump's positions are probably even more towards the Democrats than those two guys. And so we're in a battle for the soul of our party right now, and how it ends, I don't know. But we just can't forget who we are. We have to remember that we are the party of conservatives.
You're going to have to be careful, Jack. You're going to have to be careful, Jack. You're going to have to maybe dodge a tomato or an egg if you...
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting how many Trump people are actually at the convention. Because one thing I know, I was encouraging Cruz folks, even though the first round of the balloting at the national convention is bound, people could change their minds. So I was like, based on what happened in 2012 with Ron Paul folks, you know, I encourage people, don't just send anybody to the Polk County convention and district convention. You know, ask them who they supported for president before you vote on them. So yeah, I don't see Trump having the kind of organization that was going to mobilize well for the caucus to convention process. What do you think?
Yeah, I look at his movement or campaign or whatever you want to call it different than the Ron Paul. The Ron Paul movement was extremely well organized. They understood the rules. They were good at this convention delegate process. I haven't seen that from the Trump folks right now. I don't think that's kind of their method to be successful. I think the Ron Paul plan, they knew the delegate process for years and worked hard at understanding it, which is fine. I mean, that's part of the game. I don't sense the same thing from the Trump folks. I don't think that they have that same level of organization or commitment to the convention process.
All right. Hey, thanks, Jack, for coming on. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. You are listening to State Senator Jack Whitfer. We'll be back in a moment.
Thanks, Jack. Hi, this is Brian Myers of Myers & Associates. If you're involved in maintenance at a manufacturing plant, you know how costly it can be when a machine goes down. And if the reason that machine went down is because the electronic controls on it failed, it can really be problematic if those electronics are obsolete. Well, not to worry. We represent Providence Industrial Electronics Repair, and they can get your machine up and running in no time. They repair boards, drives, servo motors, light curtains, you name it. So if you need industrial electronics repaired at your plant, or if you have other industrial maintenance needs, give me a call at 515-490-2640. That's Myers & Associates, 515-490-2640. Myers & Associates, keeping your operations running.
Radio Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Travis Riswold of Modern Woodman of America. Call Travis at 515-883-0029 and he can help you find the life insurance
you need.
So we've got a race going on, a race to the magic number 1,237 delegates. And the question with the GOP race is, will basically, with those who want to stop Donald Trump, will the strategy be, boil this down to get to a two-person race and try to beat him in the primaries, or are we going to try to beat him via brokered convention?
A food fight.
Yes, and there's some questions. Right now, here, first of all, before we get into what has to transpire, the delegate count currently stands at Trump with 459 delegates. Cruz just following behind with 99, trailing by 99 with 360. Rubio has 152. Kasich has 54. And Carson, who's no longer in the race and was just announced he endorsed Trump, has 8. Not that those 8 delegates matter during the first ballot of broker convention, because the all the delegates are bound to, you know, whatever their state decides. So
on the first ballot. Anyway.
On the first ballot, yeah.
Then they're free to do anything they want.
Right, and then that's where the food fight occurs. So basically, we have a big day coming up on Tuesday, Super Tuesday, part two.
This would be semi-Super Tuesday, maybe.
Well, it's big.
Sort of Super Tuesday.
Yeah, obviously, you don't have as many states voting, because actually, right. they were calling March 8th Super Tuesday as well. It's like, no, March 1st objects to that, because... Way more states voted.
Did you talk to March 1st?
I did.
What did she say?
And she said, no, we are super, not March 8th. You have March 15th, obviously, everybody's talking about Florida and Ohio, but then you also have Missouri, Illinois, North Carolina Ohio and Florida are the winner-take-all states. I think North Carolina is winner-take-all. Illinois is weird, we're not going to get into Illinois because we get in the weeds with that. Missouri, I believe, is proportional. So it could either go one of two ways. Either there are going to be some surprises pulled off and Rubio wins Florida and Kasich wins Ohio. North Carolina looks like, from the polling I've seen, Trump is doing well. Missouri, there has been no recent polling done, so we have really no idea how that race is going. I also have read that Trump has not really campaigned in Florida, not in Florida, in Missouri. Also, Missouri is Ted Cruz's campaign manager's stomping grounds, Jeff Rowe, who's known as the Karl Rove of Missouri.
Wow.
You could take that as a compliment or
yeah, that could go both ways.
That could go either way. But Cruz should be fairly strong in Missouri. And honestly, I don't remember if Missouri is an open or a closed primary. I have a feeling it's open, but don't quote me on that. I'm not entirely sure. So you have these five states at play. So if Trump swept, it's going to be very damaging and very, very difficult. Even with a two-person race going forward, because he's gonna take a lot of delegates. Missouri is proportional, so he won't take all the delegates if he won Missouri.
Well, looking at Ohio, according to Fox News, they've got Kasich by 5 points over Trump.
Excuse me.
5 points. So that's closer than you would expect,
right? For the sitting governor of the state,
exactly, who's supposed to be pretty popular there.
Yeah, well, he's not so
supposed
much
to be.
Not so much with conservatives. Conservatives aren't happy about his stand on Common Core. They're not happy about his Medicaid expansion, and a couple other things. But
now, is that an open primary state?
That I'm not entirely sure.
Because that'd make a big difference.
Yeah. I think definitely if it's closed, that's right now. That is Trump's kryptonite is closed primary states and caucuses, mm-hmm. with the exception of Kentucky was a caucus, and he won that barely. And Hawaii was a caucus too, and he won that as well. So that rule doesn't always apply.
Now, it's interesting too. We were talking off the air. Marco Rubio is performing really poorly according to the Fox News poll. Now, they've got Trump up by 23. Now that's probably an outlier because the rest of the polls have him up by single digits, but still Marco Rubio is not leading in any of those polls.
There was another poll that had Trump up 19 that was fairly recent. Then there's two polls that one had him up, had Trump up by 9, the other one by 6. So honestly, we don't exactly know what's happening in Florida other than, well, really polling's been kind of useless lately.
Yeah, I saw something on NBC News about that the other day. The political talking heads with NBC were just apoplectic because their polling means has been so inaccurate lately.
Right, Florida is a closed primary, by the way. Just looking that up.
That's going to help Rubio.
Ohio is mixed. I'm not entirely sure what that means. I'm looking at my little 2016 app here. Missouri is open. I forgot the Northern Mariana Islands caucus is happening also on.
Don't want to forget those guys
on
there,
the 15th. And that's a caucus, so that's closed. So who knows? Somebody might sweep up their 9 delegates there. They actually have 9 delegates. So, hey, don't, you know, delegates are delegates. Who cares where they come from?
Is the weather nice? Maybe we should campaign there.
I think so. I'm thinking so. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I think Kasich is in a stronger position right now than Rubio is of winning. You know, Kasich could end up winning Ohio. Rubio is struggling.
Yeah,
and,
I agree.
And if he doesn't win Florida, that could be end up being really bad for him.
Well, it really could be. It, not only with respect, obviously, to this presidential campaign, but he's not running for re-election in the Senate. And there are some that speculate that if he gets thumped in his home state of Florida here, this doesn't just signal the end of his campaign. It may indeed signal the end of his political career. So
right.
There's a lot of discussion about the wisdom of him staying in if the polling continues to look bad.
Right. So, yeah, it'll be interesting. And looking at kind of the primary schedule going forward after March 15th, you have more closed primaries than you have open primaries. So that certainly helps. If it does boil down to a two-person race, that's not helpful for Trump.
Right.
So
right.
that'll be interesting to see. You know, on one hand, you know, I know Cruz, to going forward, he'd like to see Rubio out of the race, and to get Rubio out of the race, he'd probably have to lose Florida. But on the flip side, Rubio winning Florida also helps Cruz too, because it keeps delegates away from Trump. So it
does, but the problem is we're running out of time.
Right.
We're running out of states. I mean,
absolutely. So well, I was just thinking the ideal situation would be Rubio wins Florida, gets out. That won't happen. I know that's wishful thinking. John Kasich wins Ohio, gets out.
Boy, are you a dreamer.
I know. Oh, I think Kasich already. He didn't even have enough signatures to get on the ballot. He's right now in a court case in Pennsylvania to get on the ballot there.
I don't know
where he's going after Ohio.
Well, I've never really understood what kept Kasich in the race. I mean, it's like he's got one hope, Ohio.
Yeah.
And even if he gets that, that doesn't necessarily give him this monstrous path forward.
Right.
I've never understood it.
Right.
What is the end game for him? I've never understood that.
And that's Ohio, basically. I don't think he's thought much past that.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Right. Anyway, you're listening to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, and we're talking about the GOP race. There was a debate the other night. I think it's going to be our last debate. So I want to play part of an exchange. Rubio had... Rubio, to his credit, had a very good debate, and he had a good exchange with Donald Trump on Cuba. Let's go ahead and play clip five.
Donald Trump agrees with President Obama in his decision to re-engage diplomatically in Cuba. The majority of Americans seem to agree with that as well. So why are President Obama, Donald Trump, and the majority of Americans wrong?
Well, I would love the relationship between Cuba and the United States to change. Require Cuba to change, at least its government. Today it has not. The fact of the matter is that after these changes were made, there are now millions and hundreds of millions of dollars that will flow to the Castro regime. It will now allow them to become set permanent and in stone. They will now be able to carry out a transition where the military continues to run the country there. They'll put a puppet figure forward as their new president, and nothing will change for the Cuban people. There has not been a single democratic opening, not a single change on the island in human rights. In fact, things are worse than they were before this opening. The only thing that's changed as a result of this opening is that now the Cuban government has more sources of money from which to build out their repressive apparatus and maintain themselves there permanently. And we ask nothing in return. Compare that to the changes that were required in Burma. And by no means is Burma a perfect country. But at least when there was a democratic opening to Burma, they were required to make some democratic openings. When there was a diplomatic opening, it required democratic opening. And today, the former minority party is now the majority party in their legislative body. He asked nothing in return, and we are getting nothing in return. And Cuba and its regime remains an anti-American communist dictatorship, helped North Korea evade UN sanctions, is harboring fugitives of American justice, including people stealing our Medicare money and moving back to Cuba, all in exchange for nothing.
Mr. Trump, you said the concept of opening Cuba is fine. You said the concept of opening Cuba is fine. Why do you agree with President Obama and disagree with what Senator Rubio said?
I don't really agree with President Obama. I think I'm somewhere in the middle. What I want is I want a much better deal to be made because right now Cuba is making...
All right, and he didn't really go get into specifics. And kind of, I was tweeting out last night, somebody please ask Donald Trump, what does it mean to get a better deal Cuba? What does that look like?
What's a better deal look like?
He said, without saying last night, without saying good, better deal, he wouldn't have had anything to say. I think on instance, and we're going to play another clip here for you real quick. Let's see.
You know what, though? As far as the substance to the answer to this question, Rubio stole everybody's oxygen right there.
Cuba, yeah.
He said everything there was to say. So Donald could have said, we needed a better deal. Marco Rubio just laid out what that better deal would look like.
Right.
Rubio was exactly right.
Absolutely. And Cruz took some good shots it was a more of a cordial way. I mean, there wasn't a lot of bickering. It was a lot more substantive debate. But he said, we need a commander in chief who understands national security. Go ahead and play clip two.
You know, we need a president who understands the national security interest of this country. The reason we are friends and allies with Israel is they are a liberal democratic country that share our values. They're our strongest ally in the region. We get billions in intelligence resources, billions in military resources. And the Palestinian Authority that Donald, along with Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama, say they want to treat neutrally the same as Israel. The Palestinian Authority is in a unity government with Hamas, a terrorist organization. They pay the families of these terrorists who murder people. And this is exactly the moral relativism Barack Obama has. And the answer is not scream all Muslims bad. Let me give you an example of a Muslim, for example, we ought to be standing with. President Sisi of Egypt, a president of a Muslim country who is targeting radical Islamic terrorists. Senator He's Rubio. Hunting them down and stopping them.
Thank
Our
you.
Focus needs to be on keeping this country safe.
So, again, Cruz gives, you know, specificity to his answer on foreign policy.
Right.
Trump, all Islam's...
Not so much.
All Islam's bad. They hate us. Well, they do now. They didn't before.
No, we've been listening to Trump for almost a year now. And there's never been any real substance to the things that he says.
And, okay, being commander-in-chief is one of the most important things a president can do. Wouldn't it be good to have somebody actually knows what he's talking about? Anyway.
You think?
You think. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
Hi, this is Brian Myers. When I needed a better life insurance plan, I found it with Travis Risvold of Modern Woodmen of America. When I first met Travis, he wasn't like some other life insurance agents that can be pushy and try to get you to buy something. Travis just made himself available to me. That was it. He told me to let him know if and when I needed anything, and he stayed in touch. When the day came and I did need to make some changes with my life insurance, Travis met with me and walked me through several options so I could make an informed decision. Ultimately, it was the best decision for my situation. So if you need a better or the best life insurance plan for you, call my friend Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. His number is 515-883-0029. Travis Risvold with Modern Woodmen. He can help you find the life insurance you need. Call him at 515-883-0029.
Welcome to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio, a stimulating look at culture, current events, faith, and politics from a Christian and conservative point of view. We don't just talk on the radio, we blog too. Check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com. Now grab a cup of coffee and join us. This is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio.
Hey, welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Caffeinated Thoughts Radio is brought to you in part by Crosswalk Ministries with Scott Owen, who offers biblical counseling and conciliation. Give him a call at 515-292-7141 or go to crosswalkcounseling.org.
And now we've come to our news segment, otherwise known as News You Can Use. This one is from InfoWars. A new FBI initiative based on Britain's anti-terror mass surveillance program instructs high schools across America to inform on students who express anti-government and anarchist political beliefs.
That would be my son.
Yeah, that would be the entirety of libertarianism, would it not?
Probably, yeah.
And a good share of Republican Tea Party folks.
Sure.
High school students are ideal targets for recruitment by violent extremists seeking support for their radical ideologies, foreign fighter networks, or conducting acts of targeted violence within our borders. High schools must remain vigilant in educating their students about catalysts that drive violent extremism and the potential consequences of embracing extremist belief. So we're going to have people ratting each other out in high school. And this is the FBI that's interested in this.
I seem to remember this happening in other places in history.
Yeah. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love America.
Good in a bad way. All right. Yep.
Okay. And according to The Blaze, Attorney General Loretta Lynch testified Wednesday that the Justice Department has discussed, quote unquote, taking civil legal action against the fossil fuel industry for denying the threat of carbon emissions when it comes to climate change. During Lynch's testimony at a Senate Judiciary Committee hearing, Senator Sheldon Whitehouse,
who I think is going to run for president one of these days.
Yeah.
White House in the White House.
Yeah. Democrat Rhode Island said that he believes there are similarities between the tobacco industry denying scientific studies showing the dangers of using tobacco and companies within the fossil fuel industry denying studies allegedly showing the threat of carbon emissions. My question to you is, White House said, other than civil forfeitures and matters attendant to a criminal case, are there other circumstances in which a civil matter under the authority of the DOJ has been referred to the FBI? He asked. Quote, this matter has been discussed. We have received information about it and have referred it to the FBI to consider whether or not it meets the criteria for which we could take action on, unquote. Attorney General Lynch answered.
Wow.
Beautiful. It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? To my estimation, we haven't even come close to proving that there is such a thing as cataclysmic man-made global warming. But she's discussing the possibility of an FBI investigation.
Even if there was, even if it was the case, this is trampling over free speech rights.
Free speech in America? Or are you a dinosaur?
I know.
Yeah, it's freedom of speech, just as long as you don't say too much.
And now, seven Democratic lawmakers are complaining publicly that the review of former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's email practices by two internal government watchdogs has been unduly politicized. In a letter Wednesday to Intelligence Community Inspector General Inspector General Charles McCullough and the State Department Inspector General Steve, I guess it's Linick, four senators and three House members called on the watchdogs to ensure that ongoing inquiries into the matter must be impartial, independent, and diligent. Quote, based on public reports and communications from your offices to Congress, we have serious questions about how this review is being conducted, the letter said. Douglas Welty, spokesman for the State Inspector General's office, said partisan politics have played no role in the investigation. Both of the inspector generals in question are, wait for it, appointees of President Barack Obama.
Oh, but they're just, you know, they're the Republicans' tools.
Apparently so. Oh, and speaking of Hillary, during an interview on Fox Business Network's Intelligence Reports with Trish Regan, Patricia Smith, the mother of one of the Benghazi victims, responded to Hillary Clinton's comments during the latest Democratic debate. Smith, whose son Sean was killed in the attack, believes Clinton lied to her when the former Secretary of State claimed a video was responsible for the attack. "We were nose to nose at the coffin ceremony," Smith said. "She lied to me. She told me it was the fault of the video. I said, 'Are you sure?' She says, 'Yes, that's what it was. It was the video.' And she knew full well it wasn't at that time. And then she says she was going to go check. If it's any different, she would call me back and she would let me know." Smith continued, saying Clinton has yet to reply.
Why would she have to go check?
I don't know. Maybe it was a good way to escape this poor woman.
Sounds like it.
But look, at the end of the day, she's exactly right. It's clear. It's clear from Hillary's testimony. It's clear from the emails. Hillary knew, and she did lie right through her teeth to those poor folks when those coffins were being unloaded at the airport.
Yep.
It's a terrible tragedy.
And Ted Cruz received a interesting endorsement this week. Go ahead and play clip one.
"So my fellow conservatives, my fellow Republicans, you have a very important job on Tuesday. And I say to you, it is time. It is time to take our party back. It is time to take our government back. It is time to take our country back, and so it is time now to unite behind the one man who can beat Donald Trump, who can beat Hillary Clinton, who can beat the DC cartel. It is time to unite behind Ted Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, the next president of the United States."
That was Carly Fiorina, former presidential candidate. Outsider herself, even though she kind of ran in the establishment lane a little bit, but you know, she's kind of straddled, I think, between conservatives and establishment.
She was clearly an outsider,
right? So it makes sense that she would back, since obviously not a fan of Trump, that she'd back the outsider, one who has, unlike Rubio, he's been in D.C., but he's not been of D.C.
Well,
that would be Cruz. So, and Ted Cruz, by the way, he does finally now have a U.S. Senate endorsement. Senator Mike Lee of Utah has backed his campaign.
I heard that this morning.
And I've heard there might be more Senate endorsements coming down the pike.
I suspect there will be, because these guys have seen that they really don't have a choice.
Right. But Ted Cruz.
But I tell you
whether you like it or not.
I can't help but be a little bit cynical here and see Carly's endorsement of Cruz as evidence of the possibility, at least, of maybe some backroom discussions between Cruz's people and her people relative to perhaps a VP spot. Just saying.
Maybe. She did say during her speech that she voted for him in the Virginia primary, and that was before she made a decision to endorse. So there's that.
Well, maybe that conversation took place before then.
Possibly. Yeah, that's true.
Hey, he could do worse than have Carly Fiorina as his running mate.
Hey,
I've said that for a year. I think she makes a strong, strong candidate.
For a number of people who could, you know, who possibly could have won the nomination. I don't think she'd ever do it with Donald Trump, but
Never say never.
I don't think. But who knows? Stranger things have happened.
That is for sure.
The current front runner being one of them. So this is Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. We'll be back in a moment.
You can't believe you messed up so badly. You have asked God to forgive you, but can you forgive yourself? I'm Scott Owen with Crosswalk Ministries of Central Iowa, and it's time to pause for peace. Kicking yourself for your past sins will not give you the peace you want. The more you dwell on it, the more hopeless your situation will seem. God says that if you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you. Having a clean slate should fill a heart with joy. But why do some people hang on to their guilt? Some reasons are a personal lack of victory over sin, pride, bitterness, as well as ignorance of God's teaching on forgiveness. Learning what allows guilt to hang around is critical to applying God's solution for internal peace and joy. We would love to help you experience that. Please call Crosswalk Ministries at 515-635-5465 or online at crosswalkcounseling.org.
And welcome back to Caffeinated Thoughts Radio. Hey, you realize we blog too, right? Or you just don't listen every week to these wonderful voices on radio and realize, I wonder if they... Do they do anything else? Yes, we do. We do write. Well, I write.
Wonderful voices.
Wonderful voices. I've got a great radio voice.
Well, he does.
At least my kids say so. Anyway, you can check us out at caffeinatedthoughts.com, also where we have daily updates. And Brian actually has an article up there, a recent article.
I've had a couple or three.
You had a couple. It's a miracle. So check it out, caffeinatedthoughts.com. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter. You can find where we're at on Facebook and Twitter off the website, caffeinatedthoughts.com.
And now we've come to my favorite part of the show. We're about to share a story that is truly unbelievable. Yet, you know it must be true because...
You can't make this stuff up.
All right, this is out of Charleston, West Virginia, from UPI. Delegates at West Virginia's state capitol are denying an anonymous claim that several lawmakers became ill after tasting raw milk.
Good.
The rumors began after several delegates exhibited similar symptoms in the days following a milk tasting in celebration of the passage of a law that would make consuming raw, unpasteurized milk legal in the state. The State Bureau of Public Health investigated Tuesday after the anonymous tip. It was an anonymous tip. These guys are all getting sick.
From somebody who probably didn't like that law.
But said no similar cases of illness from raw milk had been reported. There's nobody up there that got sick off that milk, Republican delegate Scott Cadel told the Charleston Gazette-Mail. It's just bad timing, I guess. Cadel is among several delegates who reportedly fell ill in the days following the milk tasting, but said he was homesick with a stomach bug that had spread through the Capitol building. Fellow Republican Pat McGeehan also experienced similar symptoms and admitted to tasting the milk out of courtesy to Cadel, but doesn't believe it to be the source of their shared illness. While Cadel said he's unsure if he broke the law by acquiring the milk from a friend, he remained confident that it played no role in the widespread illness. It ain't because of the raw milk, he said.
Oh, gosh.
With that many people around and that close quarters and that air and that environment, I just call it a big germ. All that capital is a big germ.
Yes, it is.
Indeed.
Yes, it is.
Well said.
And it spreads throughout society. Yeah. Yes. Oh man.
Send your you can't make this stuff up ideas to story@caffeinatedthoughts.com, and we will give you the credit or the blame if we use your suggestion on the show.
Yeah, just you know, Iowa's had its own raw milk debate, but we've not come close to passing a law. But it's interesting. We should have the freedom to buy or sell raw milk. I'm assuming this delegate, if he just got the raw milk from a friend and didn't actually purchase it, he's probably okay law-wise.
Well, now it says acquiring. It doesn't actually say purchase,
right,
or...
Right.
Yeah.
Now, there's a loophole even in Iowa. You can purchase... I just want to purchase just the container, this bucket for the milk. You can fill it up if you want.
Oh, dear.
But I'm not actually buying the milk. I'm only buying the bucket. Container. Yeah, the container. So.
And that's successful? People are doing that? It works?
There are a few people who do that. Yeah, you can do that. You know, frankly, it's like, let people have... It's a liberty thing.
Well, it is. But it is.
I certainly have no interest in drinking raw milk.
Well, I don't either. but it is a liberty
straight
thing.
From the cow's udder, baby. Woo!
All right. That capital is a big germ.
Well, this is Caffeinate Thoughts Radio. Thanks for listening this week. Hopefully you don't regret it. We'll see you next week. That's a threat, not just a promise.
Take care, everybody.
All right, bye.